The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Torah tells us, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe l'mor, daber el bnei Yisrael v'yukli truma. Speak unto the children of Israel and take for me truma. Truma are offerings, contributions from everyone whose heart inspires him to give this truma. Then the Torah tells us what the truma should be: zov, chesed, nechoshes, gold, silver, copper, and so forth. There are 13 different types of materials that were brought. Different types of wools and linens, different types of skins, I'd say sheeting, a very precious wood, jewels, and so on. What should be done with this? You shall make for me a sanctuary which I shall dwell amongst you. This was the tzivuim, the command of the building of the Mishkan, the building of the sanctuary, which went with Klal Yisrael during the 40 years in the desert, and later came with them into Eretz Yisrael, and later became the permanent Beis HaMikdosh at the time of David HaMelech, King David, and Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon, in Yerushalayim, on Har HaKodesh. This is the high point for Klal Yisrael. They went out of Egypt, they were given the Torah, they go into Eretz Yisrael, and they build the Beis HaMikdosh. This was the eventual high point of Klal Yisrael, and in this Mishkan it was set aside as the most holiest place, built on the most holiest ground, and it was set aside for korbanos, sacrifices, and all of Israel coming there in various periods during the year. And this is what we always are mispalos for. We daven consistently, pray for our return to Eretz Israel, who binyan Beis HaMikdosh, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdosh, which will, Yitz Hashem, take place in the time of the Melech HaMashiach. And this is what brought Shechinas Hashem. This brought the presence of the Almighty into Klal Yisrael, as it states, as we read, Ba'osuli Mikdosh, Vishochanti B'Seichon, build for me a sanctuary so that I may dwell amongst you. The Mikdosh actually had two names. It was called Mikdosh, which means to be sanctified, and it was called Mishkan. Mishkan means the dwelling place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He would dwell amongst us. And now we are starting to learn about this for the next number of parshas. And in Sefer Vayikra, it's called Teiras Kahanim, because there all of the various avodas, the services of the Beis HaMikdosh, are taught. Now the first item which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that we should make for the Mishkan is V'osu Arein Atzei Shitim, that you shall make an Aron, that was an ark, out of Atzei Shitim. This Atzei Shitim was a certain type of cedar wood. And then the dimensions are given, Amosayim v'chetzi orkoi, and so forth. V'tzipisa eisoi zahov tohor, and you shall overlay it with pure gold. It shall be made from wood, but overlaid with pure gold. Mibayisu mechutz titzapenu, and it shall be overlaid with gold on the inside and on the outside. V'asis olav zer zahov shaviv, and you shall make a golden crown on top of it. Then the Torah tells us, it shall have four golden rings on the four corners. What is the purpose of this? For the Bade Atzei Shitim, because it has, there were staves, two staves placed in the Orem, and they were placed through the four rings. And these staves also were made from wood and overlaid with gold. And the purpose of this was Losesis or Orem Bahem. When the Orem would be carried, it would be carried by these staves and the shoulders of people. Bitaba'as, Bitaba'os, Ha'orin Yu Abadim. The staves had to be in the rings all of the time. Le'yosurimina. There was a negative commandment that the staves were not allowed to be removed. Not only when the Orin was being transported from one place to the other, but even when the Orin was in its proper place, the staves remained there. What was placed in this Orin? Benosato alo Orin. The edus, the testimony, the luchais, the stone tablets, both the first ones which were broken and the second ones which were shleimim, which were not broken, were placed in there, and the Sefer Torah which Moshe wrote. Then on top of the Orin, a kaporis was made. This was a gold covering. And again, the dimensions are mentioned, and they were also of the same dimensions of the Orin. And from this gold covering was hammered out Shnaim Kruvim Zohor, two golden Kruvim. Mikshotase also Mishnei Ktsosa Kaporis. What were the two Kruvim? Kruv Echod Mikotze Mizeh, or Kruv Echod Mikotze Mizeh. One crew from one side and the other crew from the other side. Mina kaporis tasus akruvim. And they were hammered out right from the kaporis, from the covering itself. They were two images. And Mora brings a krub, was the meant a child. They were images of two children. And the hoyu akruvim porse konofaim lamala. And they had wings. And their wings spread out above, Sechim v'chamfeyam ala kaporis, and the wings covered this covering to the Orin, v'fenehem ish elochiv, and one looked at the other, ala kaporis yupenei akruvim. And then the Torah tells us again that this kaporis went on top of the Orin, but first you had to put in the Orin the testimony. And I will make myself known to you there. I will meet you there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. V'dibarti itcho me'al ha'kaporis. And I shall speak to you from above this covering, mibein shnei ha'kruvim, between these two kruvim, these two images of children. Asher al aron ha'edus. Everything that I'm going to command Klal Yisrael. So we see that we're speaking here of the Mishkan of the Mikdosh. We're speaking here of the Shekhinah Hashem. We're speaking here of the Avodas HaKahanim, the service of the Kohanim, who were paramount in the Mishkan and the Mikdosh, and the high point of Klal Yisrael. And this was to be in the holiest part of the world, but at the same time the first item commanded to be made was the Orin. The Orin was for holding the Sefer Torah. Now why is this? The Medrash tells us in this parsha, Perek Lamed Aled, Os Beis, Maha Torah, Keduma Lechol, כך במעשה המשכון הקדים את האור לכל הכלים. Just as the Torah preceded the creation of the world, so in the building of the Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded that first you must make the Orem a place for the Torah. Maho Or Kodem Lechol Maase Bereishis, just like the light was the beginning of the creation of the world, as it states, Vayom Elokim Yi Or. That was the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let there be light. After Mishkan Ateirish Nikreis Or, so the same thing when it came to building of the Mishkan, first there had to be light, and the Torah is called Or, as it states, Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or, that the Mitzvah is like a candle and the Torah is a massive light. Kodmu Maaseh L'Chol HaKelim, it also preceded everything of the Mishkan. From here we see two things. First of all, we see, like the Medrash elaborates also here in Parshas Truma, that the Mishkan, its construction, item by item, followed the construction of the world. The Mishkan was a whole world in itself. And the Medrash goes into the details. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world, that's how he created the Mishkan. Just like he created a world from above and below, that's how he created the Mishkan, and so forth. Therefore, in the creation of the world, the Torah came first. In the building of the Mishkan, the Torah must come first. In the creation of the world, light was first, the physical light. In the creating of the Mishkan, there must be the spiritual light. That's the first thing we see. Secondly, we see the paramount importance of Torah. That with all Mishkan and the whole Mikdosh, first came the Orem for the Torah. A little later in the Parsha it is written, this is in Perichov Vov Lamed, Posuk Lamed Gimel Lamed Aled. Now, this Orem, which was built first, where was its place? In the Mishkan. Benosate es apreches, tachas akrosim. We were commanded there, in Perichov Vov, Posuk Lamed Gimel, to build, to make curtains. And the curtains, that was to divide one third of the Mishkan from the other, the inner one third of the Mishkan from the other two thirds. And the curtains, therefore, acted as a division in the Mishkan itself. And you should take the Orem with the testimony, and you should place it inside the section of the curtain. And the preches, the curtain, will divide between the outer half of the Mishkan, which was known as the Kodesh, and the inner half of the Mishkan, the one third, which was known as the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. You bring the Orem into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then you put the kaporis, the golden covering on it, and it shall be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We see that the place of the Orem was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. And this was the only keli, the only object that was there. All other objects of the Mishkan were placed further outward, in the Kodesh or in the Chotzer, the Azor, the Kotchad. The only object that was to be placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was the most holiest place, was the Orem with its Sefer Torah. The Gemara brings in Masechta Yuma, Daf Nun Gimel, Amud Beis, In the Mishnah, the Gemara says, "Even hoyisosham miyameis nevim rishenim." There was a large stone. Now this was not in the desert, because the desert, there the Mishkan was movable. But when it came to its final place in Yerushalayim Har HaBayis, there was a large stone. From the days of the early Nevi'im, of the early prophets, Rashi says that refers to David and Shmuel. It was David and Shmuel who designated the proper place of the building of the Mikdosh. Ushasiyo Hayeso Nikres. And the name of this stone was Shasiyo. Gevaya mina oret shleish etzbos. It protruded from the earth the dimension of three fingers. And this was the place of the Orem on this stone in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Now the Gemara tells us what was this stone and why was it called Shasiyo. Shasiyo actually means weaving, meshing together. So the Gemara brings on Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Ushasiyo hayisod nikreis tano shemimena hu shasas ha'olam, because from here HaKadosh Baruch Hu wove the world. When he created the world, he created this stone first, and he wove around and around the stone until he wove the entire world. The Gemara says, according to this, then Eretz Yisrael was created first, and the rest of the world afterwards. Tanan kimandoma mitzion nivra eilam. This is in accordance to the opinion. Everyone holds Eretz Yisrael is beemtza olam. Eretz Yisrael is in the middle of the world. But there's a question: how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? Did he start from the outer shells of the world, and he worked inwardly? If that would be the case, Eretz Yisrael was created last, or did he start from the center of the world and worked outwardly? So the Gemara says that this Mishnah, this Brisa that states it was called Shasir because Mimeno Hushasasa Olam, that's Kemanda Oma Mitzion Nivra Olam. Tana Rebleza Imer Elam Memtsiose Nivra. The world was created from the center. Rashi says, "Sia in Nivra is Tchila." Eretz Yisrael was created first. Usvivol Nidvaku Regovim Regovim Atzeifayle Mikol Tzad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the center larger and larger and larger until he had created the entire world. Mordechai says that's what it means in the pasuk. Mitzion Michlal Yefi. From Tzion comes all beauty. Mimenu muchlal yofi shalaylam. What does it mean, from Tzion comes all beauty? From Tzion, the beauty of the world came out, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu started with Tzion. So this was the Even HaShasiyo, and this was the place of the Oren which held the Sefer Torah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Mikdosh. Here again we see the enormous paramount, the purpose that the Orem played, the central role in the whole Beis HaMikdosh. Then we read that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us. Incidentally, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, no one was ever allowed to go, with the exception of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, and that was only on Yom HaKippurim. Then he would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then we read that we were instructed to make a golden covering and from the golden covering would be hammered out Shnayim Kruvim, two of these images that looked like children that would look at each other. What were these? What did they represent? The Gemara brings in Yuma, again, Daf Nun Dalet. Daf Nun Dalet Omer Aleph. The Gemara says, Omer Av Katino, B'shosho Yisrael Eilin L'Rego. When Yisrael would come up for the regel. One of the purposes of the whole Mikdush was to be the place where Kol Yisrael would assemble Shleish Apomim Bashona, three times a year, under the Golim, under Yom Tovim. When they would come up under regel, Megalin Lehem Asapreches, they would open up the curtains. No one was allowed to go in, like we mentioned, but they would stand in the Azora, they would stand in the courtyard, and they would look into the Kodesh, but then the curtains would block their view from the Kodesh HaKdoshim. They would open up the curtains. Umarin lahem es akruvim, and they were able to see the kruvim. Shohoyo me'urim ze bezeh, and the two kruvim, alpines, miraculously, were hugging each other. Ve'emrim lahem, and then they would say to Klal Yisrael, Beruchi baschem lifnei hamokom, see the endearment and the love that you have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu between you and Hashem, kechiba zocher u'nekeva, like the endearment of a zocher and a nekeva, a male and a female. From here we see that the kruvim represented one HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the other Israel. And when they embraced each other, this represented the endearment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Israel and vice versa. The Gemara brings further in Baba Basra, Daf Sarek Tes Omer Aleph. In Amechres HaPeres, Morris says, Ketzar hein omdin. When the two kruvim were made, how did they stand? The Rishbam brings that we have a contradiction in the Psukim, because in by the Kruvim, which in the Sefer Torah of Meisha, it states Ufaneim Ish al Ochiv. That's what we read here. That one faced the other. But by the Kruvim, when Shlomo HaMelech made him, it says Upneim Labais, they didn't face each other. Rather, they faced towards the Beis HaMikdash. They were in the inner part of the Beis HaMikdash, and they faced outwardly towards the Bais. So we have a contradiction. So the Gemara says, how were they made to be? The Gemara answers, well, it's a discussion between the Biechen and the Blezer. But the Gemara, according to the Gemara explains, according to one of them, that they were made to be Peneim Ish al Ochiv, like it says in Torah Moshe, see, that one would face the other. Peneim Ish al Ochiv, el akaporish yer Peneim Kruvim. So why do we see that sometimes they were not facing each other, but they were facing the bayis, they were facing towards outwardly towards the Beis HaMikdash? Lekasha. This was another miracle that took place. Kan bisman she Yisrael aisin the retzene shel mokum. Kan bisman she ein Yisrael aisin retzene shel mokum. When Klal Yisrael fulfilled the will of the Almighty, then they faced each other. And that's how they were when they were made originally by Moshe. Hein heifchim peneim zelazeh. They would turn to each other, dugmas chiba zocher on the keva, like the love between a male and a female, ha'ayvim zelazeh, who love each other. Simon, and this was a sign, shahakodesh bochu ayv Yisrael, that he loves, Hashem loves Yisrael. Umitchilan kach nasu ponim al ponim kidei shetishre shchina b'Yisrael. B'Yisrael yasu retzeini shel mokum. And this is how they were made. And because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love, he brought his shchina into the Mishkan. Ukishe'ein osin. But when Yisrael would not fulfill the will of the Almighty, hofchin peneim labayis, they would turn away from each other, and they would look towards the Beis HaMikdash al yedei neis, through a miracle. So again we see that the Kruvim represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Israel, and it represented the divuk, the cleaving and the love between the two. And where was this? This was on the Oran over the Sefer Torah. We read that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'no'adati l'chosh shom, I will make myself known to you there. Actually, no'adati does not mean I will make myself known to you, but it means that I will meet you there. It's from the word va'ad. V'no'adati l'chosh shom, there I shall make myself to meet you there. V'dibarti itcho, and there I will speak to you. Me'ala kaporis, from above the golden covering of the Oren, bibein shnei kakruvim, and my voice will come between the two kruvim, asher al aron ha'edus, which is above the Oren which holds the testimony, is kol asher atzava Yisrael b'nei Yisrael, all that I shall command to the b'nei Yisrael. Rashi asked the question. The Mishkan had another name also. It was called Ohel Moed. Consistently in the Torah, we see Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe be'Ohel Moed le'mor. Hashem spoke to Moshe in the Ohel Moed to tell Israel, to instruct Israel. Ohel Moed means the tent of the meeting place. Moed comes from the word lisbaid, bad, which means a regular place of meeting. Why was the Mishkan called this? Because of this pasuk. Because this was the regular place of meeting between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ultimately Israel. And this was the regular place of instruction. Now, where was this? It states in the Ohel Moed. Ohel Moed means the Mishkan itself, not the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So where did Moshe meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he learned Torah from him? Did he go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So Rashi says, Vayidaber Hashem Elov Me'el Me'er Le'mor Zeh HaMishkan Michutz L'Preiches. From our posuk, it seems that he went inside the curtains to speak to Hashem. And from the other psukim, Ohel Moed, it seems that he was outside in the Mishkan itself. Nimtzu shnei ksuvim achishim zeze. We have two contradictory psukim sentences here. Bo akos vashlishi vichrei b'neim. Now we have a third posuk that will explain. Ubavam Moshe el ohel maid. The third posuk in Bamidbor Zayin says, when Moshe would come to the tent of meeting, mayishma es hakol medaba elov me'ala kaporis, he would hear Hashem's voice coming out to where he was, but coming from the golden covering of the Oren. Moshe haya nichnas l'mishkon. Moshe would come into the sanctuary, but he would stand in the outer part of the sanctuary. Kivan Shabob Seicha Pesach, once he would come into the doorway of the sanctuary, Kol Yerid Min Hashomayim, the voice of Hashem would come down from the heaven, Lebein HaKruvim, in between the two Kruvim, the two images, Umisham Yetze V'Nishma LeMoshe Ba'El Ma'ed, and from there would go out into the outer part of the Mishkan, where Moshe would hear the voice. Now this represented the Noarati, the meeting point between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael. This represented the ultimate concentration of the Shekhinah. And where did it come from? Went out into the Mishkan, but it came through the Kruvim and the Oren. Me'al ha'Oren. What do we see from here? That the Shekhinah comes through Torah. This I once heard many, many years ago from the great Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. You see that the ultimate of the Mishkan, which was to bring the Shekhinah's Hashem, that's the presence of Hashem, and that's the meeting point between Yisrael and Avinu Shebishamayim. And this is why it was called Ohel Moed. This was where they met. It came through the Kruvim, which were over the Orem. And the Kruvim represented the Divuk. Kruvim represented the bond between the two. We see that the whole Hashras HaShekhinah of the Mishkan came because of the Torah, which was in the and the Oren, which was in the Oren. The Gemara, also in Yuma, but in Daf Ein Beis Amud Beis, and this is also in the Medrash here in Perek Lamed Dalet Os Gimel, but a little different nusach. The Gemara tells us as follows. It's a very well-known Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yechanan. The Gemara in Yuma brings it in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Shleisha Zirim Hein. If you recall, when we read the Psukim, it states that you should make on the Oren a Zer Zohov Savi Vosisa Olov. You shall make on it a golden crown around it. We were also commanded to make a crown around the Shulchan, the table. We were also commanded to make a crown around the Mizbeah Hazor, the golden altar, which was inside the Kodesh. So Rabbi Yechanan says, Shlosha Zirim Hein. We see there were three crowns: Shel Mizbeach, the altar; Shel Aron, and the Oren; Shel Shulchan, and the table. The Mizbeach, this represented Aron HaKoin. These were the sacrifices. Shel Mizbeach Zocha Aron, this represented the crown of Kohen of priesthood, and this went to Aron. Unetolai, he took it. He in a seed. Shel Shulchan, the table, this represented royalty, kingship. Zocha David unetole. David merited it, he took it, he and his children. Shel Aaron, but on that of the ark, a dayin munachu. Nobody made a kinyan on. It did not become exclusive property of anyone. Kol areitze likach, yove v'yikach. This is Keser Torah. The crown of Torah does not belong to anyone in particular. Anyone who wants it, let him come and take it. Shemateimar pochusu. Generally, when something is exclusive, it's better. So perhaps you'll say that this is the least of all of the crowns, because the other went exclusively to Aaron, the other went exclusively to David. Maybe you'll say this is the least. Tamalema bi milochi mimleichu. The Torah says, I am the one who gives crowns to the kings. I am the greatest. Rabbi Yechanan Rami Ksiv. Zor uvekirinan zeer. It's written Zayin Reish. Zayin Reish spells Zor. Zor means someone who's alien. But it's read as a Zer Zor, Zobiv, which means a crown. Zocho nasis lei Zer. Lei Zocho Zore himenu. If you merit it, if you have the schus, if you work for it, if you give yourself to it, then it will become your crown. If not, then it will become an alien to you, a stranger to you. The Medrash by us also brings this. Not in the name of Rabbi Yechonon, no, but it brings it in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. A little different. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Gimel Ksorim Hem. There are three crowns. Keser Malchus, Keser Kuna, Keser Torah. Crown of royalty, of priesthood, and of Torah. Keser Malchus, Zeh Ashulchan. Crown of royalty, that's represented by the table. Diksiv Bei Zeh Erzov Saviv. And it says you shall make a golden crown around it. Keser Kuhuna, the crown of priesthood, Zeh Amizbeach. This is represented by the altar. Diksiv Bei Zeh Erzov Saviv. You shall make a golden crown around it. Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, Zeh Ha'oren. This is represented by the Orem. The Ksiv Bei Zer Zohov. Loma Nichtovim Zor V'Nikroim Zer. He asked the same question. They're written the same way as Zor, a stranger, an alien, is written. But they're pronounced Zer, which means a crown. Elaleim Alochim Odom Zeche Nasim Lezer. Imlav Zor. If he's Zeche, it will become his crown. If he's not, it will become alien to him. Now he asks, by the other two, it states, you shall make for it a golden crown. By the Oren, it says, you shall make on it a golden crown. To tell us that the crown of Torah is higher than the other crowns. The other crowns, it says, you shall make for it a crown. By Torah, it says, you shall make above it a crown. On it. This crown is higher. Now, the Medrash tells us a chidush. Zocha odem le Torah, kila zocha le chulam. Generally, I would say, it's a greater crown. But, each one has their own milas. Each one has their own attributes. No. Reb Shimon ben Yochai says, if a person is zeiche to Torah, he's zeiche to all of the crowns. In other words, the crown of Torah encompasses everything that the other crowns also encompass. What the Keser Kohuna and the Keser Malchus also encompass. Let us go further in this. We read that the Torah said, commanded, that you should make the Orem of Zohov Tohor, excuse me, you should make the Orem of Atzeshitim, of the cedar wood, but with Tzipisai said, you should overlay it with Zohar Tohor. You should overlay it with pure gold. Mibayis, from the inside, umibchutz, and from the outside, it's apeno. So it's made of wood, the inside was gold, and the outside was gold. Rashi explains, Bezalel, who was our chief engineer and architect here, how did he choose to make it? So Rashi says as follows. Shleisha Areinis. He brings this from the Gemara in Yuma Ein Beis. Shleisha Areinis. Also Bezalel. He made three Areinis. Three arcs. Beis shel zov, echad shel etz. Two were gold and one was wood. Dalek solim ushulim lechol echad. Each one had four walls and a bottom. Upsuchin lamalo, and each one was open at the top. Nosan shel eitz b'seich shel zohav. He took the wooden ark and he put it in the golden ark. B'shel zohav b'seich shel eitz. Then he took the second golden ark and he put that in the wooden ark. So he made three arks, two gold and one wood. He put the wooden one in the golden one, and then the golden one, another golden one, inside the wooden one. And then he overlaid the top of all three arenas with gold. So now we have, it was made of wood and it's overlaid with gold from the inside and the outside and on top. This is how he made it. Two questions are asked on this. Firstly, when we're speaking of the Orem, the Ark, and the Ark is to hold the Torah, and the Torah is the most precious jewel that we have. Generally, if a king has a very, very precious jewel, and he wants a box to hold it in, he makes the box out of gold. He doesn't make it out of wood. Gold is far more precious than wood. So why did the Torah command us? You should make Vasisol Aron from Atzei Shittim, from wood. It should all be made of gold. What did we need the wood for? Second question. Since the wood is totally concealed, it's inside the two golden arenas and it's overlaid with gold. So also, what did we need it for? These are the two questions that are asked. Firstly, why did we need wood? Let it all be out of gold if it's to hold the Sefer Torah. So the Sefer Torah is the most precious jewel we have, so it should be a golden box. What do we need a wooden box for? And secondly, if the wood is concealed anyhow, it's gold on the outside, gold on the inside, and overlaid on the top with gold, so what do we need the wood for? And this the Maral in the Gurai explains. He says no. He says we needed an Orem from wood, and we needed an Orem from gold, and we needed three arenas. Why? He says, firstly, the Torah is not something which is dead. Torah is alive. As it states, Torah is like a living tree. Not only is it alive, but it even gives life to those who support it. A tree of life is it to those who support it. Why is it living? Because it has its source in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's part of Hashem Himself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Makor HaChaim, he's the source of all life. And something that has a source in him is alive and growing. And therefore, to represent this living Torah and this growing Torah, it had to be something, a material that also comes from something which is alive. Gold, in all of its greatness, is not alive. It's a mineral deposit. Wood is something which is alive, a tree. Further, not only is Torah alive and living, but Torah lives forever. And of what we have that lives in this world, that's alive, long life is represented by the tree, because a tree lives longer than anything else that grows in this world. A tree lives even longer than a person. And this is written by Torah. It states, Orach Yomim B'Yamino. to the right hand of the Torah is length of days. Living long days. Therefore, to bring this Mila, this attribute of the Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu said that you should make it from Atzei Shittim. It should be from a beautiful, precious wood that also represents something which is living and alive. Now, why does a tree live so long? Because it has deep, deep roots that go deep into the earth. Why does the Torah live forever? Because it also has deep roots that go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like a tree. A good part of the tree is concealed. Many times the roots can be longer than, taller than the tree itself. And it's concealed. This Mila of Torah, that its days are long. And when we say Erech Yomim B'Yamino, it means its days are unending, because this refers to Yem Shekula Orech. This refers to the world to come. He who supports the Torah has length of days even in the world to come. And that's totally concealed from the person. Therefore, to represent this Mila HaTorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let it be made of wood, but the wood should be concealed. Just as the Torah itself, because of its concealed sources in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, brings forth this Mila, Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikin Bo, to all of those who take hold of it. So that answers the question why it was made of wood, not only gold, and that the wood was totally concealed. Now, Torah has two other attributes. It says, Erech Yomim B'Yamino U'Bismola Eishiv HaKovet. Its left hand, it gives its those who uphold it, Oshev HaKovet, wealth and honor. Wealth and honor is from this world. Length of days, that extends into the next world. Wealth and honor is something which is seen. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, make another Orem. Wealth is represented through gold. Make a third Orem to represent Kovod, honor. Gold represents honor. And these two will represent the other Milas HaTorah, the other attributes of Torah. And they should be able to be seen, because these attributes are for this world. Honor is only to be seen. So therefore, Mibayis u'me'amachutz titzapenu. It was on the outside and the inside, gold could be seen. If you looked at the outside, it was gold. If you looked in it, it was gold. The wood could not be seen. Maybe you'll ask, but the oren on the outside could be seen far better than the oren on the inside? The answer to that is that the golden oren on the outside, that represented kovod. Honor is only within the perspective of others. If there's no one there, there's no kovod. Honor is always klapei ha'om, in relationship to others. So the outside golden oren represented the honor of that Torah gives to a person in this world. The golden oren on the inside, that represents the wealth that Torah gives to a person in this world. Why on the inside? It can be seen. If you looked in the oren, you could see it. It's from this world. But the Gemara says, when it comes to the brochas of physical wealth, in abrocha mitzuyeh elamashim mechusim binayim, it's better that it should be concealed. The more concealed it is, the more the brocha of physical wealth, because then the ayin hara is not shulit. The ayin hara doesn't take a hold. That's why, if you have wealth, don't show it off. See? Keep it inside rather than outside, and you'll have more brocha with it. So therefore, one golden oren was for the outside. That represented honor, which is only outside in this world.
One golden Aron was on the inside. That represented physical wealth, which should be kept on the inside. It's in this world, it can be seen, but in the inside. And then the wooden Aron, this represented the Orech Yomim, the length of days forever that the Torah will give to those who uphold it. Now this Pasuk that the Medrash brings, that the Torah is called an Eitz Chaim, it is a tree of life, l'machazikim bo. This Pasuk, the sages tell us, does not refer only to the Lomdei Torah, to those who study Torah. Does not say Eitz Chaim he l'Lomdei Torah, though it's a tree of life to those who study it. That for sure. But it says it is a tree of life, l'machazikim bo, to those who hold it. So the sages tell us this refer also not only to the studiers of Torah, the learners, but also to the supporters of Torah. All of those who support Torah and uphold the Torah. This incidentally is why when they moved the Mishkan from one place to the other, and it was very heavy. You had the heavy boards and you had all of the different items to carry. So they would be carried in wagons which were drawn by oxen. And if you recall at the Chanukah Samis Beach, the oxen and wagons were donated for these purposes. But when they carried the Oron, which were carried by the Bnei Kos, there they were commanded ala kos if you saw. They weren't allowed to put it in the Oron in a wagon, or it should be drawn by oxen. But they had to carry it on their shoulders. This is what the Gemara brings in Eilu Eina Nemorin. And the Rambam brings in the end of Perek Beis Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, Halacha Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. Be'eishem Elichin Eso Oren Mimokem Lamokem. When they would move the Oren from one place to the other in the desert. Ein Melichin Eisei Le'al Beheime Ve'Le'al HaGolesh. They did not move it on an animal or on a wagon. Ela mitzvah le'naitle ala kesef. The mitzvah was on the shoulders. Ulefishi shochak David, menosu ala gola nifratz peres buza. This is the maisha nach that David forgot his halacha, and he moved the Oren on a wagon, and came out a whole magefa, a whole tragedy. Ela mitzvah le'nosu ala kesef. She nemar ki avedis hakodesh aleihem bekesef yisovu. By the Bnei Kos, they were not given animals or wagons because it was their job to carry the Oron, and that had to be carried on the shoulder. Now, why? So the reason given is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the people to carry the Torah, not the oxen. See? Other things the oxen can carry, other things the wagons can carry. But when it comes to Torah, that he wanted the people to carry the Torah. It was their mitzvah, and Torah should be born by the people themselves. And then the Rambam says, incidentally, this is what the Medrash also tells us, that the Medrash asks Mipnei, it states the Osu Aron. They shall make the Osu Aron, means they shall make the Oron. Omer Bihuda Bereb Sholem, Omelea Kodesh Borchu, Mipnei Ma Bechol Akelima Elexi Vosisho. Why, when it came to everything else, it states you shall make it. It's singular. Uba'orin Sivri also Aron. And by the Aron it's written, and they shall make the Aron. Omar Biyuda Barab Sholem, Omar Yakorish Borhu, Yavo Hakol Yisasku Ba'orin, Kedeshi Yisku Kulam the Torah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said when they came to the other Kalim, it's alright if you make it, it's alright if you make it. But when it comes to Torah, he wanted everyone to participate in Torah. Everyone participate in the carrying of the Torah. Then the Rambam brings, Kishe Neisim Aisei Ala Kesef, Neisim Ponim Keneged Ponim, V'achoreim Lechutz V'pneim Lifnim. You had the people carrying the staves, they would face each other. Now we read that it states Lo Yasurim Imanu, there were four rings on the Oren, and the four rings were to place two staves between them. It states that the staves shall never be removed. So he says when they carried the Oren, they had to be very careful that the staves should not fall out. Because when you would remove, if someone would remove one of the staves, then he transgressed the negative commandment, and there would be lamalkis, corporal punishment. That in the rings there should be the staves and they should never be removed. We heard a number of times from our very endeared Rabbi Aloy when he spoke in the yeshiva a number of times, that he heard from the Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. This he heard himself from the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim once addressed a gathering of supporters of Torah, and he asked a good question. He says, I can understand that the staves should be in the Oren all of the time, so it's always prepared to be moved from one place to the other. But why, once the Oren came to its final resting place, when it was in the Mishkan permanently, and there was no purpose to carry it anymore, it still states that we were not allowed to remove the staves. Why? What was the purpose? This is what the Chofetz Chaim asked. And he answered, because the staves represented those who carried the Torah, those who supported the Torah. And the place of the Oren was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If we remove the staves, once the Oren was placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so then all of those who studied Torah would be with the Torah. But all of those who supported the Torah would be removed far away. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim bo." It is a tree of life not only for those who study, but an equal share to those who support. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, dividing the staves which represented those who carried and supported the Torah, they must have the same place of honor as the Torah itself, and therefore they should not be removed. And this is what Meisha said in his brochas, in Zeis HaBrochas, Smach Zvulim B'Tzeisecho B'Yisocher Be'Olecho Higdim Zvulim B'Yisocher. He says Zvulim should rejoice when he goes out to sea. They were the merchants, and they made a deal with Yisocher, who were the great Balibina. They were the great intelligent judges of Israel. He says, we will give you, we will share with you our material, worldly wealth, and you share with us your Torah wealth. So Moshe gave them both a brocha, smach, zvulun b'tzeisecho, zvulun should rejoice when you go out to sea, v'yisocher ba'olecho, v'yisocher in the tents of Torah. The Chazal say, Higdim Zvulun Yisocher. He even gave Zvulun precedence and priority over Yisocher, because Yisocher's Torah was only because of Zvulun. So this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the people themselves to carry the Oren, and once the Oren reached its destination, the staves had the same honor than the Oren and the Torah itself. Now finally, the Gemara tells us, Mishochorev Beis HaMikdosh Ein La Kodesh Baruch Hu Be'elamei Ela Dal Ramesh Al Halacha Bevad. When the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, HaKodesh Baruch Hu Shechina was limited to the four cubits of Torah alone. I once heard from one of the great Rosh Yeshivas, Rabbi Gedal Yeshor, Sefer Tzadik Levroch, he was the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas, where he quoted a Maral. He says, doesn't mean that before the Shechina was in the Beis HaMikdosh, and once the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to go to the four cubits of Torah. Now, the Shechina always was in the four cubits of Torah. Before the Beis HaMikdosh, during the Beis HaMikdosh, and after the Beis HaMikdosh. Because we see that where did the Shechina come in the Mishkan? From the four cubits of Torah. V'dibarti elecho, I will speak to you from bein akruvim, from between the kruvim, al haron ha'idush, on the oren which is holding the testimony. So the Shechina always was in the four cubits of Torah. That's the Ikra Shechina. That's the main Shechina. The Beis HaMikdosh gave the power for the Shechina to spread out. It could be mispashed, it could spread out beyond the four cubits of Torah into the whole Beis HaMikdosh. Mishachora Beis HaMikdosh, though, once the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, Ein la kodesh baruch hu ela dal olam shel halacha bilvad. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu again had to limit himself to the four cubits of Torah. So not that there was a transferal, that before it was in the Beis HaMikdosh and now it moved over to Torah. The Shechina always, it's at its source was in Torah. Even during the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, its source was in Torah. During the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, though, then it was mispashit, it spread out through the entire Mikdosh and Yerushalayim. Mishachorav, when there was no longer the Beis HaMikdosh, again, the Shechina had to limit itself to the Dalai Lama Shal Loch Bilvad. This is something which is a very wonderful concept. And with this, we can understand another Gemara. Another Rosh Yeshiva was a very dear friend of mine. His name was Ramesha Eisman, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. He was the Talmud Muvak from the Baran Kotla. He had a yeshiva. And he told me once, the Ponovitch Rav, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, came to visit the yeshiva. And they were discussing. And the Ponovitch Rav at that time was building his yeshiva in Ponovitch. In Bnei Brak, not in Ponovitch, in Bnei Brak. Okay. This Rosh Yeshiva learned in Ponovitch itself by the Ponovitch Rav. But later on, the Ponovitch Rav came to Bnei Brak and was building his yeshiva there. So the Ponovitch Rav was telling him how wonderful his yeshiva was. It was a small yeshiva, but a very, very beautiful yeshiva. And he told him how wonderful it was. So he answered, he says, yeah, but it's not Bnei Brak. It's not Eretz Yisrael. So the Ponovitch Rav answered him, no. He says, a kedusha of a yeshiva is kedusha Eretz Yisrael. It's the same kedusha as Eretz Yisrael. This is what he told me. He told me over from the Ponovitch Rav. He says, no difference. Kedusha of a yeshiva, if it's a yeshiva where it should, where midaf design, which a yeshiva like a yeshiva should be, that's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Later on, I find that's what the Gemara says. Gemara in Brochus says that Rabbi Yechanan was the Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And they told him that in Babel they live to a long age. People are living very old. Toma, he couldn't understand. It says, Laman Yarichun Yamecha Al Adoma. It says that you will have length of days on the land which I give you. How in Chutz Loretz can they, outside of Eretz Yisrael, can one live so long? Kivan, once they told him that they get up early in the morning to go to the Beis HaMedrash and Beis HaKnesses to daven and to learn, and they come back at night to daven and to learn, oh, then he understood. So the Maral says, why? He says, because Kedushas HaTorah is the same as, or as high as Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And this is the Gemara we quoted. What was the Kedusha of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary? What was the Kedusha of Yerushalayim? Actually, the Rambam brings that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is never bottled. See? Never bottled. Never dissolved, even in Golos. He says, because Hashkina in a betelo. Because it's Kedusha, it's sanctity, Hashkina. So what was its Kedusha, its sanctity? The Shekhinah Hashem. But the whole Shekhinah Hashem came into the Mishkan because of the Torah. So then, therefore, the sanctity of Torah certainly has that Shekhinah Hashem. And that's what the Gemara says, that Mishachora Beis HaMikdosh, before the Churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was found by Torah, but he was able to spread out all over the Beis HaMikdosh. But Mishachora Beis HaMikdosh, once the Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, then Ein LaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela B'Dal Ramesh Allah Locha Bilvad. Then he had to limit himself to the four cubits of Torah. So here we have, we learn this evening about the building of the Mishkan, its purpose, and in particular about the building of the Oren, and this, which held the Edus, the testimony of the Sefer Torah, which was the paramount and central point of the Mishkan and the Mikdash.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.